today on the Pure Sweat Basketball Show.
Everything we do translates to what the kids are going to be asked to do in a game.
Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym.
Turn my headphones up!
Let's eliminate the will to win and think about the will to prepare to win.
That's how winning is done.
It's about being a great teammate. It's about being accountable to one another. It's about being tough. It's about doing the right things for each other, but it's about doing it every day.
This is Fran Frischeller from ESPN, and you are listening to the Pure Sweat Basketball Show.
Thanks for tuning into the show that truly serves the basketball community and makes every episode a micro clinic. I'm your host, Alan Stein. Today's show is brought to you by our friends at Dr. Dish, the creators of the world's best shooting machine. Today's episode is part one of a two-part interview that I recorded in Singapore with one of Pure Sweat's top skill trainers, Jordan Delp. But before we dive in, did you know that Crossover makes film sessions more efficient by clipping and tagging your video for you? With a turnaround time as little as 12 hours, Crossover can provide you with shot charts and stats that you can access from any mobile device. Visit crossoverwithak.com/puresweat to try a game for free. And I want to encourage you to visit our newly revamped puresweatbasketball.com and sign up for The Drop, our killer weekly newsletter that drops invaluable content right to your inbox. And if you sign up now, you will receive a series of 6 free webinars on how to develop a championship culture and winning habits. And while you're there, please check out our recently released basketball performance course and basketball performance workout to help you maximize your summer training program. These are without question the 2 best products and programs I have ever released. So please hit up puresweatbasketball.com. All right, let's jump into my interview with Jordan Delp. Jordan, what would you say was the biggest adjustment you had to make going from playing high school basketball to playing college basketball?
I think that for me, part of it was just getting over myself a little bit. I benefited from having a very successful high school career and didn't quite realize when I went in how hard it was going to be to get on the court in college. And so it took me a couple of years really to adapt and realize what it took to be successful at the next level. I was able to play a little bit in the first couple of years, but not like I had. And once I decided that I wasn't as good as I thought I was and I started working the right way, the success came. And so I think it was partly realizing what it took and realizing how much I had to work in order to earn the right to get on the floor. You're not entitled to anything in this game. No one owes you anything. I think for a while I didn't realize that.
Gotcha.
That was the biggest adjustment for me.
So how did your role change? You obviously went from probably being one of the premier players on your high school team to at least initially being more of a role player, if you will.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I also had kind of a position change as well. So I played more of the two in high school. And then my first 2 years of college played backup point guard. And so it was not only a change in playing time, but also a change in what was expected and what was required of me to get on the floor. So there was a little bit of difficulty there, just adjusting to playing a new position, but also playing at a higher level.
What made you decide to get into skill training and make this your full-time profession?
So I actually have kind of a weird story there. I was in banking for 6 years after college. And while I was there, one of my coworkers asked me to help him coach his kids' team. That turned into me kind of running the show. And when I would go to games and when I would go to tournaments, I would just be very, I guess, upset almost with what I saw on the court, with how I saw kids being asked to play, with how I saw kids being able to play. And I thought that some of the coaching I saw was a disservice to the kids. And I benefited growing up from a very young age of having great coaches that really focused on the fundamentals, the mechanics of the game. And I felt like it was almost my duty, my calling, if you will, to pass on what I had learned to a younger generation so that they would benefit from the same things that I took advantage of growing up.
How did you end up making the transition from being full-time in another industry into being a full-time skills trainer?
At the beginning, I was both working at the bank and running skill workouts. And so I would go to the workouts in the mornings, then work all day, and then run some workouts again in the evening. And after about two and a half years of that, I just felt like it was time to either decide to do this full time or really stick in banking. And my love, my passion was in basketball. And because I had built up a good group of players that I enjoyed working with and that enjoyed working with me, I did have at least a little bit of a safety net. But you know, it was a big plunge to take, leaving a steady full-time job with benefits to go to kind of on my own. And I was lucky enough that the bank I worked at helped me and was very accommodating with my schedule at the end. And I basically ended at the bank right when summer started. So I was able to kind of catapult into that first summer where kids were out of school and I could be as busy as possible.
How would you describe your skill training philosophy?
I think the biggest thing that we pride ourselves on with Pure Sweat is that everything we do translates to what the kids are going to be asked to do in a game. So we don't spend a lot of time with what I call the fluff. We're not trying to use our workouts as a way to get YouTube hits or as a way to show ourselves off. We're really focused on improving the kids individually and as a group, depending on the situation, but more so that it always translates to the game at a high level, at a high intensity, and make sure that we help kids be successful in the things they need to be able to do in a game.
Love that. So give us kind of an overview. So how many kids do you usually work with at a time? What goes into your workout planning? How much of it is customized based on position, based on age? Just kind of give us an overview of what you do.
Sure. I run individuals. I run small groups. Obviously, we're here running clinics. But for the most part, I'd say my sweet spot is around 8 to 12 kids. Mm-hmm. Try to make it position specific, unless it's a team, where then we'll do more blended workouts, I guess I'd call them. Usually in each workout, there's a singular focus. So, you know, maybe next week when I get home, we'll work on slot penetration and all of the reads, both with the ball in your hands or the passes that you have to make. So I try and break the game out into different actions and focus really tightly on here are the different things that you need to be able to do. Now, obviously, that needs to be customized to an individual player. I'm not going to have a fourth grader working on the same things that one of my college guys works on. But the idea is the same. And hopefully everything from that fourth grade level up, if I'm lucky enough to have that kid for 10, 12 years, hopefully everything builds and then we progress and add things along the way so that there's always a common theme, but it's really adaptable to the given player, the given group that I'm working with.
Love it. And it sounds like decision-making or the ability to make basketball decisions is a big portion of what you do with your players.
I think as I've become more comfortable in my abilities and more comfortable in my ways of doing things, it's really transitioned to that a lot more. Now, obviously, at the lower levels, it'll be a little slower and we'll focus on the mechanics a little more. But as players get older and as players improve, I think basketball IQ is something that can be taught. I know there's a great feel for the game that some players have, but I also believe that you can teach them when and how to make the right decision. And I think that high school and college coaches need players that can shoot it in and can break down their defender, but also that can make the right decision at the right time. I think that if we can teach kids to make winning plays consistently, I'm doing my job pretty well.
Love it. Now, I'm sure it varies based on age and level, but how much of a workout are they going against a defender or going against something other than, say, a cone or a chair or, you know, a non-object?
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. At the lower levels, maybe we don't have as much defense, or it's a lot lower level or less intense, I suppose, is a better way of putting it. As kids age, I like, especially now in the off season, now we'll really go against the defense. We'll play through contact. We'll dribble, pass, and finish with a defender through contact. And we'll shoot under pressure as well. And during the season, things are a little bit different. During the season, we're really just focused on getting reps. Really, everything is 1-on-0 in season because obviously we don't want any injury risk in our gym. So if I'm working with a kid during their season, it's more 1-on-0. In the off season, we're really working on expanding their game. And I think a big part of that is working against a live defense.
How long is the average workout and how many times a week does the average player come in, let's say during the high school off season?
During the high school off season, in the spring, generally we're at about an hour and 15 minutes. Once or twice a week. I have a good number of kids that will come as part of a group and then also come individually as well. So they'll get a couple of hours a week with me. I think you try to give them homework each week as well, so I know that they're following up on what we worked on in a given workout. And then in the summer, it might be a little bit longer. An hour and a half workout is usually about max. I'm a big believer in kind of one of our pure sweat mantras of get in, get better, and get out. I don't think if I'm having kids in there for two and a half hours, I don't think we're maximizing their time. I don't think that it needs to be like a high school practice setting. It needs to be quick and efficient and make sure that we're getting our work done, but doing so in a way that the kids really are maximizing their time with me.
Love that. Now, you mentioned the concept of homework. How much work should kids be putting in outside of what they're doing under your instruction to be the best player that they're capable of?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I try and instill in my players is that you have to work hard. So you have to work outside of your comfort zone. You have to push yourself past game speed. You have to work smart. So you have to work on the things you do in a game, right? But you also have to work consistently. And if you don't have that last one, the first two don't really matter. So if kids are only coming to me once a week and then not working, I'm going to know, because I'm going to see that they're not making the progress that I know will happen if you're following up. I think it's different for each player, but especially in the summer when you're not in a season, you know, a lot of kids are multiple sport athletes, and I love that. But I think you need to be working on the court four or five times a week. I think you also have to sprinkle in your weight training, your conditioning, and film study, which is something that I'm starting and hoping to really incorporate a lot more into my workouts going forward. But I'd say you're on the court at least 4 to 5 times a week of good, hard hour and a half workouts is about right in the off season. Again, some of those workouts might be just getting reps up, might just get shots up. But if you're not in the gym consistently, someone else is and they're passing you by.
And what advice would you give a player that is going to go in the gym just to get reps and get shots up to make sure that they're doing something that will add value to their game and not just going in and casually shooting?
I think the biggest thing is to always have a plan. I think a lot of kids just go to the gym and kind of wing it and see, all right, this is what I feel like doing today. I think you need to be very specific in your workouts, similar to how I structure things. The first 3 weeks of my session was baseline penetration, middle penetration, slot penetration. And so I will give them, I will say, all right, for the next week, you should be working on our baseline penetration actions. There's not really anything else you need to do aside from get your shots up on the side as well. And then that will be kind of, as long as they have a focus and as long as they are planning and structuring their workouts similar to how we are in when they're with me, I think things are going well.
That's it for us. Thank you so much for listening. I hope we helped you raise your game. Make sure you check back for part two of this interview. We want to thank the team at Dr. Dish for transforming basketball training with their high-tech shooting machines. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com. And don't forget to visit our newly revamped website at puresweatbasketball.com. All right, it's time to get back in the gym.